Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is July 3rd, the year 2022. You have tuned in to Words Make People. We'll be right back after our opening theme song. Tell a friend to tune in. It's going to be a good one, I do believe. Inshallah, we'll be right back. And welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. We have a very good program today, I do believe. We have a special guest, at least two, maybe three, Brother Akbar Salam from the Unity brand Bilal and his partner, Brother Earl Sadiq. I think I'm saying his last name correctly. And after we bring him on, he can help me out. And maybe email Wasdeen Sharif may join us later, inshallah. For those familiar with our format on Words Made People, a phrase we got from Imam W.D. Muhammad, Words Made People, we always read from the Quran first before getting into our topic, because there's no better collection of words for making human beings than the words of the Holy Quran. We know a scripture as a whole are the best or an excellent body of words for making people, but the best of the words for making human beings are the words revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, the prayers and peace be upon him. So today's reading, we're going to read from chapter 2, verse 168. Yes, chapter 2, verse 168 of the Quran. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring on our two guests. I will make commentary on the verse, but I'd like to hear their commentary as well on this verse before we get into our actual topic. The actual topic is the history of halal meats in America. That is a topic. But I would like to hear these brothers' thoughts on this verse of the Quran I'm going to read. So I'm going to bring them in just for that, and then later on they can introduce themselves, inshallah. So I'm going to bring on Brother Akbar Salam and just give them the greetings and no other comments right now. And Brother Earl, going to bring them on. So, and Brother Earl, I'm bringing you on now as well. Brother Earl?
Could you hear me?
Yes, sir. Alaykum as-salam. So we're going to read from this first. Yes, I can hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Yes, very good. Alhamdulillah. Very good.
Thank you.
Proceed.
Yeah. Our format for this show was made people to first read from the Quran. We're going to read from chapter 2, verse 168. And then we'll just a commentary on that first. Let that set the groundwork for our conversation today, inshallah. And before reading the Quran, we always say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. And that is, I seek refuge or protection with Allah, minash shaitan, away from shaitani rajim, the rejected enemy, a cursed enemy to mankind. And also we say before reading the Quran, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And now we will read, this is chapter 2, verse 168, where Allah says, Ya ayyuhannasu kullu min ma fil ardi halalan. Halalan tayyiban. Those two go together. Halal and tayyib, they go together. Allah says, وَلَا تَتَبِعُوا كُتُوَاتِ شَيْطَانِ, and follow not the footsteps of the devil, the shaitan. He says, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُرُّ مُبِين. He is to you a enemy clear. مُبِين نُون. He is to you a enemy clear. That's the verse we want to read today from the Quran. And as Yusuf Ali translation says, Oh, you people, eat what is on earth lawful and good. And the lawful is saying halal, and the good is saying tayyib. And do not follow the footsteps of the evil one, for he is to you an avowed enemy. This verse here is really, doesn't take a lot of interpretation on the surface. There's always surface and undersurface meanings for the Quran. But this right here is like, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. You don't need a lot of conversation on those things. And here, I'm reading Brother Akbar and Brother Earl.
Yes, sir.
Is that,
yes.
It seems to be very clear. And it don't say the believers, it don't say the Muslims, it don't say the Christians. It says mankind, nasu, oh mankind, eat of what is on earth, lawful and good. And do not follow the footsteps of the evil one, for he is to you an avowed enemy. You have any comments on that, Brother Akbar, you want to share with us?
Yes, sir. As part of our, I would say, our declaration of slaughtering, in that same surah 2, Allah asks us, if they ask thee, what is halal. Tell them I said all things good and pure. So that inspiration, that direction is what inspires the halal manner and conditions of slurs. Your program, Words Make People, I would say is an excellent title because that's what brought about my input in the halal and in business, and et cetera. It was words that formed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through inspiration that I use myself in the present, that if it were not for the Quran being revealed to Prophet Muhammad, and that word evolved to where we are today, we wouldn't have the halal. We wouldn't have this. So that surah, as Imam Muhammad gave us a tafsir on, surah 2 represents the whole society. He said, mm-hmm. and in that surah, if we can just crack the information that's there, we can build community that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam foresaw for us. So I would say that, yes,
sir.
It's the lawful things that halal represents. Imam Muhammad also says, with the halal, he said, it's by Allah that things are made halal. That's why when we slaughter, we say, Bismillah, it's by Allah. That then Allah will Akbar. So it's by Allah that we make things lawful. So
yes, sir.
I would just like to state that. Imam Earl, you can add if you like.
Very good ayah, very choice of ayahs, Brother Imam. I have a interpreter here. This doesn't say mankind, it says humankind, which is synonymous, quite naturally. Christian, Jew doesn't specify these particular denominations. It says humanity. And like you said, it's very basic, very simple. You don't need no great interpretation, although there's other meanings, we understand that. But we're dealing with the surface aspect of things. Eat that which is pure and lawful. Anybody, if they don't even have religion, they can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yes,
I really like that. And the Imam's pamphlet that he put out, Meeting the Challenge of Halal Foods for Our Everyday Needs, excellent pamphlet. He touches on that particular idea. He hasn't been alhamdulillah, touching that particular idea. That's a good way for us to move forward with this program that we're about to implement. Something that's basic, fundamental, and not complicated. Alhamdulillah. That's all I have to add to that.
Yes, sir. Before you introduce yourself, I need to ask you, if either you are on speakerphone or Bluetooth or headphone, sometimes they cause a little distortion. They can cause
Bluetooth
feedback sometimes.
Yes, sir.
If you can come off those items and just talk right into the phone, that really helps.
Okay, let me see.
Yes, sir.
A little better?
Okay, great. If you talk, this show is being recorded, it would be archived, so it can be used for history or whatever. But we want to get into our conversation. And since it's going to be archived, if you can take just a half minute, we don't need a lot, but at least tell the listeners who you are, you know, how long you've been Muslim, et cetera, and just a little bit about who you are. So as they listen to you, then they'll know a little bit about you. So, Imam Earl, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Okay, sure. Thank you. My name is Imam Earl Sadiq. In the early years, coming from the Nation of Islam of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, It was Earl Fivex. Mm-hmm. I came into the community in the summer of 1960 with my crew. And we got very serious. So by the 1961 of September, I received my ex on the ordination of Islam, Amir al-Jumalan. Our minister at that time said, I'm 25 with Minister James Shabazz, the son of thunder. And I think a lot much of that was came through North, through that particular imam. It was a wonderful experience in North at that particular time. In 1967, I refused going to the service of the United States Army as far as Vietnam is concerned. So they sent me to jail for 5 years for being a conscience objector. I was angry with company, a lot of brothers with me, and Imam Akhti Muhammad did, Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. And so a repetitive thing where people think about themselves, they have their own mindset, not going on with the system, but it's a price to be paid, so Allah bless me to make that price. After coming out, although I knew Akbar for many, many years, I've been knowing Akbar now about, 6 years, something like that, almost. And we got together with some other brothers in the Nation of Islam and formed the Unity brand, Halal, Unity brand at a particular time. And it took off by the grace of Allah. Yeah. And it took off. And we're here today showing you that by the grace of Allah, a lot of problems in between. That's life is, a lot of problems. But we're here on this radio to show that Allah blessed us to be successful. And Akbar, we think Allah, Akbar is a scientist. He's just not Akbar Salam. Akbar is a scientist. I'm honored to know a scientist personally in my lifetime, alhamdulillah. And we have all benefited from that. We have unity, halal, beef, because Allah's grace and Akbar Salam.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
You're welcome, my brother.
Yes, yes. Brother Salam, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Okay, Akbar Salam. A student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as Imam Earl stated, we've known each other for many years. I received my ex in 1967, and from that point on, I was a student, and inspired by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There was a need in the 60s for lawful food for us to eat. And in 1968, a brother by the name of Rajan Nasruddin, Henry Truex, he had a store, and I used to go there and purchase. And he started making sausage. But it didn't taste too well, didn't look too well. So I brought this product home to my mother, and she looked at it, and she said, well, why don't Rajan try this? So I went back to Rajan, and we made up a batch, still wasn't up to par. So back and forth, we worked together, and we came up with an approvable, I would say, recipe, at least was fit for some human consumption. Back then, there were many, I would say, economic opportunities. We used to get like what's called community bazaars.
That's right.
And we stated what we would do is present this product to the community. So a brother by the name of Lester 2X, Cleveland 2X, a lot of twos, and Rajan and myself, we made up some batches of sausage. And we took that product to a bazaar to sell. The product took off. Everybody loved it. They wanted more. After the bazaar, we came back and we said, well, listen, we need to bring this product to the market. So we called on Brother Earl. We called on Brother Curtis 2X, Brother Salik.
That's right.
A brother, Yahya Sharif.
That's right.
And a team of seven came together.
Yes, sir.
And that formed what is called Unity Beef Sausage Company. We made sausage at night. And then we would go out and sell it door to door during the day. Bring the money back, make some more sausage. Bring the money back, make some more sausage. That's time we don't. Yes.
So this unity beef was before Imam Muhammad came into office.
Yes, sir. It was inspired by the Do For Self program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we went on and we formed what is called Unity Desources Company. And we started, as I mentioned, making products and selling it door to door. But as time progressed, other interests got involved, and our partnership, our brothers, some said, well, I want to go do this. So some of our partners left. They went in different directions. But we all stayed close.
Yes, absolutely.
We all stayed close. And I would say this, that the Nation of Islam, with the Do For Self program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
is the key, the backbone to what we established. It took the fear of Do For Self out of us. And here, we had no prior knowledge of the meat industry. But we were determined to bring something and I would say, establish what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was preaching. Do For Self.
That's right.
Yes,
a lot of obstacles. A lot of opposition. And out.
Oh yes.
But we proceed. But we went on. We went on. We went on.
Indeed.
Let me say this.
Question. Go ahead, make your point, please.
Bobby. I read what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad toward himself. Have to cut meat and feed the believers. It said he on the 79th Street in Chicago. It said he would go there. He would cut meat. His family was in there working, and they would cut nice cuts and service the community. So that inspired me. I went and got a book on meat cutting, and I taught myself how to cut meat because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad inspired me. So now, not only were we making sausage, we were taking different cuts and making sausage now. So, Unity Beef, an excellent example of Do For Self. But every holiday of the, every Jewish holiday, we couldn't get product because it was a Jewish holiday. Most of our suppliers were the Jewish community. So we couldn't even get product for the holidays. Most of our suppliers came from other communities. We couldn't get that. Why? Because it was the holiday. Brothers and listening audience, let me say this to you. What Imam Muhammad represents to us is freedom in the economic world, a shared freedom space with every other civilized community. That's what he represents to us. When he introduced the concept of halal,
yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
By Allah, he said, make your business Muslim. He said, bring your habits in accord with the Sunnah of the Prophet. Now here,
mm-hmm.
your brother, Akbar Salam, a brother, Earl Sadiq, and six other brothers, never slaughtered anything, never killed anything.
That's right.
Yeah. But the man said, make your business halal. Now, let me say this. That was 1975. Early part of 1976, the man said, let's stop. I don't know if you remember this. He said, let's just eat turkey, because he thought that none of us were developed enough in the beef industry that we could really, really supply ourselves. So he said, let's eat turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But what happened? What happened when the Imam Muhammad said, let's eat turkey? That statement created a whole world or a whole community evolving to what? Eat turkey.
Right.
Halal. But let me go back. what Emir Muhammad said, and he challenged us. That was 1983 when he challenged the community. But back in 1976, he made a wise move. You know what he did? He trademarked the word halal.
Alhamdulillah. Good move. Excellent move.
And then let's put it out there. Because we live in the world of trademarks, of corporations, etc. So he trademarked the word halal in 1976 and then let it go. Now here, my partners and I, we were all still close. My fifth partners by 1976, was just one left, Brother Yahya Sharif. And Yahya came to me and said, I understand about this, about what you're trying to do. He said, but I don't like the slaughter. I don't even appreciate the approach to halal. I said, I understand that. I said, so I'll slaughter. So I got the book. I studied what the prophet said about make your knife sharp and et cetera, et cetera. I said, now how should I approach this? So I went to the kosher slaughterhouse, and I said, I would like to slaughter an animal. The rabbi said, only rabbis can slaughter here. Sorry, you can't slaughter here. He said, right now, the Muslims that come here for the slaughter, what they do is they stand behind the rabbi and say, Bismillah, and the rabbi does the cut.
Oh, wow.
He said, you can do that. I said, no. I said, no, I like to slaughter my own. So I went to several facilities, and I went to a German slaughterhouse in Chatham, New Jersey. So I told the German, I said, well, I went to a Jewish slaughterhouse, and they denied me. He said, they did? He said, well, you can come here.
What year is this?
That was 1970, the latter part of 1976.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I went, prepared myself, and I went to slaughter, and the USDA inspector said, I'm sorry, you can't slaughter. They said, you can custom slaughter, but you cannot slaughter an animal here because there's no halal regulation. Nothing, no minor conditions for slaughtering in the USDA code for halal.
That's right. Early
1977. So I said, whoa. So I'm thinking, you know what I mean? I said, well, she said, you have to go to the USDA to establish that. So I wrote up manner and conditions of slaughtering. Not as it is completed, but just a few lines of manner, some manner and conditions of slaughter. I used the Quran. I said what Allah says in the Quran. And I sent it in Washington, D.C. I would say four weeks later, I received a call. Brother Akbar, yes. This is the USDA's office, and I noticed there was the young lady. She said, I see that you would like to slaughter. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, but there's nothing registered here under the USDA. I said, I know. I said, I would like to have that kind of ability, and I'd like to know what the process is. So she said, hold on. She said, you can do this. I said, I can't. She said, yes, sir. I said, what I'd like to do is to be able to slaughter under the dictate of the Quran. You can do that. I said, I can't. She said, yes, sir. I said, well, she sounds like one of the sisters there, you know? So I picked up. I said, okay. You know what I mean? She said, I'll take care of this.
Your angel.
Yes. She said, I'll take care of this.
Absolutely.
So I said, well, what I'll do, I'll go and I'll custom slaughter. I said, I'm going to go back to the German slaughterhouse and custom slaughter. I said, just to get some practice. I still never had saw it before. So I went back to the German slaughterhouse, and when I came in, the USDA inspector came to me and said, "You can slaughter her lamb under the USDA." I said, "I can?" She said, "Yes, it can down. It's done. You can slaughter her lamb."
I'm busy.
And
this is 1977?
That was 1977. Yes, sir. You know what I mean?
So, I just wanted to highlight this point because we got people listening. They're going to be tagging in a minute. You're saying, which is, I want to just make a marker. Before 1977, that there was no federal United States Department, what's that, USDA for agriculture? Yes. No federal guidelines for now processing, slaughtering. Thank you.
But there were others that were slaughtering, but the rabbi was doing the cut. Okay? And you may have those on the farm cutting, doing this and doing that, but there was no standard of procedures established.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I was excited because I had prepared my knife. I had sharpened it. I did what the prophet said to do. I made my intentions, and I went, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, my first cut. But here I am from Newark, New Jersey, from the streets, and I had never felt hot blood before on my arm, tingling, giving me an itching feel. I had never felt that before, you know what I mean? And it was a sensation that I still feel. And the room was quiet because the German was looking at me, and when I said Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, oh man, you know, it was a calm came over the whole room.
Allahu Akbar.
So then,
yes, sir,
it was an experience for me. So I stood there to watch to see what the next process was, see how they extended, see what they were doing, see how they cut the animal, you know, how they pulled the organs out, etc. Yeah, I had never seen this before. So,
you know, what kind of animal was it? Was it a cow?
A steer.
Okay.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it was a Holstein steer, black and white.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then after that, I started slaughtering. I taught some of my workers that were slaughtering, and they still were slaughtering also. But now, between 1977 and 1983, this manner and conditions of slaughtering and everything else was absorbed by the USDA. Now it's volumes. It evolved.
It's what? Evolved.
It's volumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, you see, there are USDA laws that have to be followed. And there are USDA laws that have to be applied with manner and conditions of slaughtering. Even though the USDA cannot dictate what is allowed, but still they have certain standards that you got to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so the halal now is working within the USDA system. Now, Muslims slaughter throughout the country. But let me make this statement. In 1977, the halal industry was only doing $200,000 a year reported, because there was no because there was no slaughtering system in place to record what was being killed. So what was being reported was $200,000, and most of that was slaughtered by other people other than Muslims. Now that same process has grown. It's doing $5.5 billion a year now, as we speak.
They say billion or a million?
Billion.
Billion or more.
Billion or more.
Or more.
Imam Muhammad challenged America. He challenged us to establish halal. And that's what we did. Not even knowing that we would have any kind of impact on the world. All I was trying to do was just slow up and take back my shop.
That's right.
I wasn't trying to write no laws or anything else. What does kid from Newark know about writing laws? You know what I mean? But I picked up the Quran. Mm-hmm. And words make people.
Hello, white boy.
And brother,
yeah, that man,
and 19.
Go ahead.
Yes,
sir. I want to ask you, was there any particular verse that is incorporated in your submission when you wrote the guidelines?
Is that, which, oh, you got man and conditions, Daryl?
That's,
if you don't have it right now, we can come back to it. I mean,
okay.
I'm just trying to get
okay,
this,
but,
yeah,
history
but,
down.
But you know, brothers, let me say this. What took place in between 1975 and 1976 and 1977
mm-hmm.
was this. I met Imam Muhammad. He came to Newark, New Jersey. And I was able to inform him that I was processing beef and that we were making sausage, et cetera. He said, I didn't know that we had brothers among us who was doing beef. He said, otherwise, I would never say stop eating. He's like that. We'd be laughing, you know. So he said, can you come to Washington, D.C.? I said, yes, sir. So I went to Washington, D.C. He was speaking in Washington, D.C. And brother by the name of Ehad Shabri, he was in charge of security. So he knew that the man had invited me there. So when he saw me, he said, come on. So I went over, and he said, and he gave me the greeting and said, well, can you come to Chicago? I said, yes, sir. He said, we're having an event in Chicago. He said, I'd like for you to come. I said, yes, sir. So what I did, I prepared what we were working on in reference to the halal. Went to Chicago, and just so happened, that was the first halal convention. That's where that book, the book you had about challenge,
yeah.
The challenge, this is where
yes,
where that book came from. And we all...
December of 1985.
Yeah. Sorry?
I think it was December of 1985. I think it was December of 1985.
It was inspired by the convention in 1983. See?
Yeah, right.
And at the convention, we were all... It was cold, and everybody was around a bonfire, and they were killing a chicken. But I was already doing beef. I was already doing lamb. So I looked. I said, okay, very good.
Brother Alcor, yes, I'm looking at the book now. I have the book in my hand, Meet the Challenge, Halal Food for Our Everyday Needs. And it says, this group considered several strategies and methods to spread the idea of halal to the entire Muslim community in America. But this
mm-hmm.
idea did not come to fruition until the first National Halal Conference held in Chicago, December 14th, 1985. They have 85.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I just wanted just to mention that because we're trying to get the history here as well, so.
Okay, good. In 1983 is when I went to Chicago, though. Okay. Yeah. It was 1983. Yeah, when I went.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But in between this, I went to Chicago, and then I gave him a booklet of some. I had the construction work being done and et cetera, and from that point on, the following week he called me. And he said, Brother Salam, I said, yes, sir. He said, this is Imam Muhammad. I said, Waikum. I said, Imam Salam. So he said, I'll take Adam as my prophet any day. I said, whoa, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought he was going to talk about the halal and the meats and everything. He said, I'll take Adam as my prophet any day.
You saying Adam?
He said, Adam, yes, Prophet Adam. He said, I'll take him as my prophet any day. Then he said, when you plant, plant deep.
Mm-hmm.
So he took me to Adam and left me there. And he had come back and get me so I could find my way back. You know, I didn't associate what he was saying to what I was trying to accomplish in her life. So, several conversations, he would talk about Adam. He would talk about the concept or the first concept of human life, things of that thing, you know? And I said, excellent. You know, I understood, but I didn't associate it with halal at that time. He talked about the human potential. Yeah, you know, this is several telephones. I mean, the man was to call me sometimes every week to every other week, and then once a month, then back to a week, and just dropping certain words on me.
Making them people, huh?
Yeah. One time he called, he said, "Do you know Brother Salam?" He said, "Some people, they kill a chicken and they take the feathers of the chicken, put it on the side, eat the flesh, take the bones, make soup, take the feathers, and make a pillow out of it." I said, "Yes, I know you, man." He hang up.
He hung up.
Yeah.
I'll wait for it.
Another time, and we all, we probably have heard this ourselves. You know what I mean? He said, "Boy, human potential, Brother Salam, human potential is a gift." I said, "Yes." He said, then he said, "A ear of corn got 7 ears on it. A stalk got seven ears on it." He said, "Each ear got 100 kernels on it." And I taught, tell Earl, I taught this, didn't I, Earl?
Yes, you did. Very good.
He said, "That's our potential." Now, he gave me a parable of the chicken. The person taking the chicken, eating the flesh, taking the bones, taking the feathers, making a soup out of the bones, making a pillow out of the feathers. But now he's given us the ear of corn with each ear with 100 kernels on it. He said, "That's human potential." Brothers and sisters, that's the potential of this halal process. Then he came back and said, he said that the halal industry is given to us by Allah. He said, "It's the key. It's the center of our economic development."
Yeah, I'm doing that.
How can we not promoting halal? Now, brothers, right now in this day and time, one product can make our community wealthy. But Imam Muhammad gave us the parable of the corn. One ear of corn has 100 kernels on it. If you plant the 100 kernels, look at what happens. Look at how our country can grow. So I trust, I got faith in our potential, like Imam Muhammad did. Now, getting back to 1983, we were slaughtering, and I said, I came in, I said, "But I was rejected by that kosher slaughterhouse." So I went back to the kosher slaughterhouse, and I saw the same rabbi. I won't give his name. I said, "Rabbi," I said, "I would like to slaughter halal here." I said, "We're slaughtering up at the other location." He said, "But as I stated before, only rabbis slaughter here." I said, "Rabbi," I said, "in the Middle East and in a lot of countries in the East," I said, "the Muslims eat the food of the Jews, and the Jews eat the food of the Muslims." He said, "Yes, that's true." I said, "I'll tell you what, Rabbi. You slaughter one for me, and I'll slaughter one for you."
Mm.
He said, well, why you want to do that? Why don't you do one for yourself? I said, that's my point. That's what I want to do. I want to do one for myself. And the rabbi said that. I mean, he couldn't believe that he gave me the okay, you know. He
Close
said, come tomorrow.
Close along.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you kind of left, but you kind of left us hanging with Adam.
I got to go back to Adam. Because he man, hey, he left me hanging too. Yeah. I tell you, he had to come back and get me and bring me back. You know?
Because all right. Help us out.
I'm going to dive in, okay?
All right. I'm going to take your time.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to dive in. So the next day, I went back to the kosher slaughterhouse. And, brothers, I put on all white. I have white pants, everything. Clean. And this slaughterhouse, you had maybe, they could do maybe 1,000 animals a day. And each station, they had, it was mostly African Americans. And I came in, and they told me, well, what you have to do, you have to go in the back and pick out your own animal. So they guided me to the back, and I knew nothing about selecting animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'll take that one. And I heard a noise. I said, no. I said, how about this one? So three or four times, then I picked out another one. I didn't hear anything. I said, well, I'll take that one. And they took the animal in the chute. The animal came out. And the African-Americans, they were almost at every station. And, brother, it was quiet. They all was watching. I walked up to the animal, and the brother said, hold up, brother. Let me clean the neck off for you so no rocks will affect your knife or your cut. So he cleaned the neck off. He said, go ahead, brother. Do your thing. And I hollered out, Bismillah, and it went through the whole building. A cut. Best cut of my life. I said, Allahu Akbar. And the whole, all the African Americans, they all cheered. Yay! Like that. You know? It was, oh, what a day, brother. So then, but I didn't know the process. So then the brother said, okay, bro. He said, follow your animal around and check out the next station. He said, the brother over there will take care of you. So I went to each station, and the brother was explaining. And I went around. And finally, I went all the way around. And to see, check the lungs, you check the kidneys, you check all your hands, all your different vital parts, and et cetera. And I said, this is halal, because now it's more than just a cut or just eating. It's a whole process of examination.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole process of protecting the consumer, the Muslim community, because now you're checking for disease. You're checking for perforated lungs. You're checking for enlarged hearts and all those kind of things. You're checking for against abscess, all those things. And if they do have an abscess, you call a veterinarian to check it to make sure the animal's not diseased. You know? So now I'm being educated. I said, whoa, this is more than all I wanted to do is just make a cut and take some meat back to unity. But it's more than that. This is a whole system.
Yes.
So I go through
if
the
I
process.
May.
Yes.
Now, if I may, and hold that thought, you're here for pretty much the first time, and you're learning as you go. And
yes,
then you
sir.
Have this group of African-Americans that are applauding you. Why do you think that they did that? Were you the only African-American there to slaughter? Or
yes,
why did they
the first.
Make it
yes,
applaud?
The first. And the first Muslim to
you
slaughter.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
fun.
Truly
historical.
Hey, but don't forget now, when I was selecting animals, there was somebody back there saying, you know? So I'm going to get to him off. Yes. Yes, they're looking out. It carried me all the way around, brother. All the way around.
A room full of angels.
And they, and I saw the process. So I went back in the back after the I went through and the animal was washed clean. You know, and you know, for the not for the first time, but to see this process, I was overwhelmed. And so I said, well, I wonder who that was in the back. Saying, you know what I mean? So I went in the back, and it was a brother over there named Clarence, African-American brother named Clarence. He was a master at selecting animals. If they wanted a prime, they said, Clarence, I need a prime. Clarence would go in there, look at the definition of the animal. He would pick out a prime. So... So what I would do after that, I would slaughter 2-3 times a week. Okay, time moved on, and I would go there and sit with Clarence, and Clarence would laugh. Man, you picked out the worst animals in the whole building, and we started laughing. You know, he said, "Let me show you how to pick out animals." So every day, every morning, 6-5 in the morning, before I did my own slaughter, I would sit with Clarence, and he said, see that animal? He showed me. He would show me different definitions, and I still can do it. Just by looking at the animal, you know what I mean? And he showed me what to look for. He said, if I don't hit him a spot, I'll come close to it, you know what I mean? And after a while, I got so good at selecting animals that if Clarence wasn't there, they would come to me. Say, I needed a prime. I needed this.
Yes,
I needed that.
You know what you're
so
saying to
five years go by. 10 years go by.
Yes, sir.
We slaughtering. Now, but in the meantime, but while I'm doing that now, I'm still communicating with Imam Muhammad. See? He's still talking. And he said, Brother Salam, I said, yes, sir. He said, the Kaaba is the root of our economic orientation.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said. He said, Baitul Aqiq is the root of our economic orientation. And he said that Father Adam is the first concept of human life. He said, and they called them Adam. I said, okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
And then he said, Adam, and we read that in the Quran, that Adam, Allah told Adam, the nature of all things. Or he was told to tell the angels their names. But Imam Muhammad gave a definition of an angel. He said that the angels represent other forces, other powers also. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to put this together. And I said, okay. So it registered that the beginning of human life is with Father Adam. And that Adam was taught the nature of all things. And whether it was, and halal means lawful by God, Adam was taught what was lawful, or he evolved through interaction to that which was lawful. So they said, wow. This whole process evolved from Prophet Adam. And as I mentioned in a conversation with you last week, and I told several times, that after about 10 years or 15 years, 10 years, after 10 years of slaughtering the kosher slaughterhouse, I happened to see a beautiful animal. Don't forget now. But now I've evolved. I'm a master selector myself. Man, I'm with plants. Master, you know, I'm a master. I'm a master myself, man. You know what I mean? So I picked out an animal. No dirt, no sign of fatigue or dirt on it or anything. Black with a white diamond in the middle of its head. And I told Clint, send that animal up to me, slaughter. So the animal came up. But what happened was the young rabbis, they also saw that same animal and they wanted it. So when it came up, I went to go look. They said, no, this is my animal. We're going to slaughter that. I said, no, Rabbi. I should let this animal come myself in the back. Any other time, I would let it go. You there? You want that one? Yeah, you have it. But this one here was a beautiful animal. I said, no. I said, Rabbi, I said, no, this is mine. And I selected that for slaughter. So while I'm talking to the rabbi, they leave, and they come back with the head rabbi. And the head rabbi comes to me and says, kosher is first. I said, oh, he's coming from a different perspective. I thought he was going to talk about the animal. But he said, kosher is first. He said, Moses was a healer, and that's why Jews are foremost in medicine. Moses was a lawgiver, and that's why Jews are foremost in law. And kosher is first. I said, whoa. He came from a different perspective. So I'm thinking, and my mind went back to Adam. I said, Rabbi, will you agree that God taught? I said, will you agree that Adam was the first concept of human life? He said, yes. I said, well, will you agree that God taught Adam the nature of things, of all things? He said, yes, sir. I said, halal means lawful by God. I said, so halal was first. Halal evolved from Adam to Abraham, from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Jesus, and from Jesus to Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. So the rabbi stood there. I said, and halal was first, Rabbi. Oh, wait, boy. So the rabbi, he turned around, he walked away. And I wouldn't slaughter that animal. And moved on. Yes, sir. Yeah. So skipping around, I was in Chicago at the office. I think two sisters, a sister Bina and another sister were there. And I told the man that story of what took place.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped up out of his seat and said, "Woo!" He said, he couldn't do nothing with that, Brother Salam. Not like that, you know?
No,
I said, brother,
well,
man, that's your tafsir. I said, how many of that? So what am I saying? We all got gifts. We all have our own kernel of corn. All we have to do is plant it. You know what I mean?
That's
the tafsir,
yes,
the knowledge, the insight of our leader and leaders affect us all differently.
If I make go ahead and make your last point. Go ahead and make your last point, and then I'll say something. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Yeah. So what am I saying? That it gives me better insight on the new world. I can see a new world with our potential because our potential hasn't been unleashed yet.
That's right.
It hasn't. We haven't unleashed that new world yet.
That's right.
That new act. It's coming. You know what I mean? But hey,
yes, sir.
We have to plant that kernel. That kernel of corn. We all had it.
Yes, sir. You know, if I may take you back just while you were speaking, what came into my mind about all the African Americans who applauded you, and then the brother, his name is clap and how he talked to you. And this is also another connection with New Jersey. And she may be called just this year. Cory Booker was talking with the young sister who just became the Supreme Court Justice.
Yes, sir.
And this was on national TV, and he sat down and he had a brother and sister talk to her as if they were sitting alone in a restaurant, but he talked to her like, sister, I got your back.
Yeah.
Now, I said, I went there for this reason, because he said when he was elected to the to be a senator, he said the African-Americans in the hallway get stopped, you know, and said an old man came to him with tears in his eyes and said, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah.
So this process was allowed. Y'all just said it. We having the potential has really, it's just coming. You know, put that seed in the ground, the potential's coming.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
No, go
ahead. Yeah. No, you're right. What the current industry has is allowed. We give that to you. It's doing 5, 6, 7 billion. We give that to you. You know what I mean? We're gonna bring about a whole new concept of halal with our potential.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called Beef Bacon on the market. My ex-partner, Rajan Nasruddin, is the father of Beef Bacon. There wasn't no Beef Bacon on the market until Rajan. They was making beef pastrami. And what Rajan did was say, Rajan said, don't put no pastrami seeds on it. Just smoke it the way it is.
That's right.
So they did that, but it looked real ugly. You know what I mean? It looked pinkish and white. He said, take some caramel or some brown sugar and put it on it and smoke it. And that's where you get that brown look. And then for 2 years, we had the rights on beef bacon. You couldn't buy it unless you came to us. But after that, they took beef bacon and ran with it. Now,
like
all around the world, they're eating beef bacon. But I love that brother right there. Fresh out.
Mm-hmm.
But how about now, so, when we're able to take our kernel of corn and plant it, and we take advantage of what we plant? If one product can make us rich, look at all the kernels of corn we got. Oh, my God.
I like to comment, if I may. This is from the book, Meet the Challenge. And they had asked a question about the work and the hard work involved, but there's one comment that the Imam Muhammad made. It's only about 5 or 6 words. And he was speaking of halal as being a Islamic tradition of diet and business. And those two words grabbed my attention.
Yeah.
Earl, have any comments on what the Imam was, what he's saying here, that halal, it is a tradition, but it's a tradition of diet and business. Do you have any comments, please?
Well, Earl, I can go it. Okay.
Are you asking me?
I would say this. In that book also, the Imam also stated that he was looking forward to the future, the future recipes and all other things that we evolved from halal and the contributions that we'll make to the halal industry. Back then there was no turkey bacon. There was no turkey ham or turkey pastrami out there. That came later.
That's true.
The halal.
All those things came later, absolutely.
Yeah. There was no the other little turkey products that you got in now. Now turkey everywhere. Now turkey.
the powers that be,
but,
I was watching our little small evolutionary happening very intently, because from that, look at the things that spawn over periods of time. So whatever we do, not even talking about Muslims, whatever African Americans do that's beneficial to the community, they are those who watch that very carefully and see how it evolves and take advantage of it. So by that, like the chief putting out there to, what you say, how did the chief do that with halal? What did he do? What's it again?
Bobby?
He took the word halal and did what? When you spoken initially. He locked down the term halal.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that whatever we do as a group, or not even Muslims, but if it's beneficial to the community, there are those in high places who watch it very carefully. And if they can usurp it, they will.
Yeah.
So we don't lock down the way that by law, we'll lose it. And we have lost so many things for periods of time because we didn't lock it down by law, so we lost it, unfortunately.
But getting back, you say lock it down by law, L-A-W?
By law. By law. In other words, if you come up with an idea, a very smart idea. You have to go, what is that term you use? You come up with a mechanism that can benefit. You have to take it and register it with the state, all that type of stuff, so you can know that it came from you. Because if you don't do that, somebody else will see it. They'll take your ideas and they'll run with it, and they get the benefit. You won't get the benefit. It happens all the time. Yeah. It's nothing new.
But that's why the man stated.
We have to be very conscious of what we do. I say lock it down. You have to go to law, proper procedures, and say this came from you. You did this, so you get the benefit and the credit for it, and the time, the financial reward also.
Yes, sir. Yes, right.
But going back to Adam, that's how the law evolved from Adam. Through the process, it evolved from Adam through our religious evolution. It evolved to where we're here today with, I would say, we can go back to Adam within seconds and come back up and take advantage of our whole genetic input.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to open our phone lines up. We want to open our phone lines up. Anyone listening, if you have a question or comment on this topic, you can press 1 on your phone and we will work you into our conversation. We do have one question here that a brother here has sent to me. He said he may not be able to call in, but he sent this comment question by email. And I'm going to try to make it, read it here, and get your response, please. And he says here, he says in the Quran, in Al-Baqarah, he don't say which chapter. That's the same one that we get read in verse 268.
Okay. Yeah.
And he says, because the Satan said he enjoins upon you only the evil and the foul, and that you should tell concerning Allah that which you know not. And when it is said unto them, follow that which Allah has revealed, they say, we follow that wherein we found our fathers. What, even though your fathers were wholly unintelligent and had no guidance? So his question is, he said in many passages when Allah speaks of eating halal, he also mentions his word in that same passage. So I get the question to be, is there a connection with the word of God and halal?
Yes, it is. If you don't use Allah's name, it's not even considered halal. Because as the imam stated, when you say bismillah, Allahu Akbar, that's not for the animal. That's for you.
That's right. That's for you.
And what you're saying is that you respect the creator of this animal that has rendered this animal for service to humanity.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you using Allah's name to take that animal's life for humanity. So you have to use Allah's name. If Allah's name is not there, it's not Allah.
That's right. There you go.
Yes, sir.
Can you speak on the difference?
I have to say this right here, though, brothers.
Please, go ahead. Sure.
Yes, sir. One thing that the man suggested was that we establish the law. He said, and complete our religion. And establish the religion first, and then go after the dunya, then go after the economics. He said, Ilo Aha, the bigger, the brighter it is. He said, make that big. He said, if you make Ilo Aha big, our economics will unfold naturally. Ilo Aha contains not one stalk with 7 ears on it, a world of stalks with ears of corn on it. And it'll in that Kaaba, it's always talking to you. It's always sending out messages. In that Kaaba is potential. In that Kaaba is what I would say is a message for each and every one of us to do what? To plant your corn and develop it. But you have to establish Ilo Aha. We have to make that big in our community. We have to trade Ilo Aha. We have to eat halal. You know what I mean? We have to offer that sacrifice. We have to save up every year to offer our sacrifice for lamb and goat or beef or whatever it may be and feed the community. And when we operate under the laws of Ilo Aha, that holiday, then let's see what unfolds. Things start to happen. Trade. The prophet said that we got to trade with each other. He said because nine of the 10 elements of economic development come on the trade. So going back to that compound, going back to Adam, there's a history. It is said that Adam laid the foundation of the compound. And Prophet Abraham raised the wall. So what took place there? So what took place there at that Kaaba that Imam Muhammad said that is the root of our economic development? Trade was established. Once Zanzan was established, it became a central trading point. Once Zanzan was established. Then that area became a focal point for trade. We have to trade with each other. Brothers and sisters, as intelligent human beings, I don't care if we don't like each other, whatever it may be, we got to start a foundation of trade among ourselves. We got to reflect what's at that Kaaba.
And the Imam said that before. He gave us CPC. He gave us ANCOP. So many institutions that should have evolved to an institution, actually, that was given us an opportunity to trade and make money and hold into our community. But somehow along the line, I'm not saying that, but somehow we didn't push that like it should have been pushed. But these were the economic opportunities. CPC and AMCOP, he opened up doors around the world. We just unfortunately didn't go in like we should. But had we did, I think financially we'd be much better as a community, better situated than we are today. Not saying that we don't have any.
Is it too late?
Never going to make no money, bro. I ain't never going to do no.
But guess what God wants us to do, brother?
Male and female, the minds amongst us, male and female, have to somehow, where they are, pick up what W.D. Muhammad has given us and run with it because the world knows. They look at it. They know who we are. We just haven't made the move that we should have made. But it's not too late. Matter of fact, if we're on the radio talking about this show, that it's definitely not too late. We just got to get busy, inshallah.
Before your caller gets in. Yes, sir.
Allah gave us a protection because you say, is it too late? Allah gave us a protection. And that is the New Africa Halal Certifying Agency and Regulatory Board.
Yeah,
the New Africa. No, allow the new certifying. Africa. Yeah. The New African Allowance. Yeah.
We have established New African Allowance Inspection Certifying Agency. We have established blah, 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 under the Council of Imams in the state of New Jersey. This is what we have. We inspect facilities, we inspect situations to find out whether, in fact, these people are.
But let me explain. You know, the insights that Allah blessed me with through the Imam Muhammad, what I did was I brought it back to our community, and I trained the imams.
Yes, sir.
To be inspectors. You know, I trained Brother Earl.
That's right.
And now Brother Earl is the chief halal inspector. In other words, So we had classes, and we set up what is called the Halal Inspection Agency. When you say it's too late, we can determine. We can say you can open a halal business. You can open a halal business. We can certify this product halal. Let us see, and let us do the inspection. And we can inspect you and say you can open up under halal. In other words, we got our own community control. New Africa is not only for America. I mean, not only for Jersey, it's for the country.
I've got a question. So this certification process, is it only for people in New Jersey, or can it be entire nationwide?
Anywhere in the world. Our inspection is over in Dubai.
Let me get my caller in, please. I'd get my caller in. And anybody else listening, you can press 1. You can press 1 on your phone, and we'll work to your question and comment there, too. But please just keep it on the topic and keep your comments short, please. We'll go to our first caller from 773-892. Thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Shakira. I'm Shakira in Chicago. I praise you to Allah. I don't know if you all can hear me. Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I am quite honored and thank Allah continuously for Words Made People. And I just wanted to make probably a brief comment about the conference that was held, the Halal Conference in Chicago. I was part of that, and it's an honor to hear history.
I'm doing that.
I think what happens with us is we don't support, when you just mentioned about Imam Muhammad said to establish religion first, I think too many of us haven't established the religion. At that conference, I don't know if the brothers remember, I was there, and I am the sister that suggested that we promote halal like we used to promote not even the pig during the Nation of Islam. And they just, everybody just looked at me like I was crazy, you know, and stuff like that. And I personally don't eat anything but halal. I'm in Chicago, so I would go all the way north on the bus to make sure that the meat I was feeding my family was halal. And when Allah gives us instructions, these are the things we should do. So these brothers there, may Allah continue to bless you all. And what we need to do is promote ourselves, because the industry, and Imam Muhammad did say that it was an industry open wide for us. But instead of us taking that advantage, we give everything to everybody else. I have an opportunity and have the foundation, and I work with this group, and they wanted me to be a part of a TV program that they doing live streaming. I can't remember on which one of the things. And they telling me they got millions of people that view it, and I'm not interested in that. I'm like, we're a group of people doing things. Why don't we do these things ourselves instead of going to everybody else? And this is what it is with halal. This is our religion. These are the things we do. So if we live our religion, then the finances comes to us automatically, and we do vice versa. We both live the religion first. And brothers, May Allah continue to bless you all, and I'm definitely going to spread the word about that. I don't know if you all know Brother Raheem here in Chicago that does the inspection now, and he's an inspector also.
Yeah, Raheem is assist. Raheem is under our inspection.
Also, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to see, and his name is Saeed Muhammad now. I think it was Leroy Wet X. I don't know if you all know of him.
Yeah.
He used to go and find halal meat and go do the halaling also in 1960. So we thank Allah for the history, and we make sure we spread it because our future, our children needs to know, because they don't think we did anything, and everything we have done, unfortunately, the immigrant Muslims have come and they give them credit for doing it. And we did this, and we...
Good point, my sister. Very good point.
And
something that
we
have to work on.
We have to, what we're supposed to be. If we say we're Muslims, Allah bless all of us are Muslims, and we are the ones that established and supposed to be responsible for establishing the religion of Islam on the face of this earth. So may Allah continue all of us, and thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Yes.
I would like to say this. The sister is absolutely correct. And going back to my statement that the Imam said that we should establish the religion first, but also he stated after that, you should establish the law. Halal was unprotected. There was no manner. After we set up the manner conditions of slaughtering, everybody went. The Muslims, they come to America, everybody's slaughtering this way and this way. And there was no, I would say, regulatory or no control. So, and I would say, 19, it was June, May, June, April, May, June of 2000, we submitted to the state of New Jersey application for some type of control for halal. And I worked with another gentleman. He introduced us to the senator there in Paterson, New Jersey, Brother Ibrahim Baca. And the state of New Jersey signed the first Halal Food Consumer Protection Act. That was July 12th in the year 2000.
Did I say this?
Let
me say something. I have to say it before. Introduce it. Assembly number 1919, State of New Jersey, 209th Legislature, introduced March the 6th, 2000.
Yeah.
The new section number one, the Halal Food Consumer Protection Act, lockdown for the state of New Jersey, had never been done before.
From
all over the world in this state making money in the name of halal, so they said.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, we're not trying to stop anybody from doing anything. But if you say you're halal, you better be halal, because you violate not only God's law, but you're violating the state's law. And that's a trouble for us to pay in time. Alhamdulillah, we've had to spend a lot of things over a period of time. Because
and what did we submit? And we gave the state of New Jersey a copy of the manner conditions that we used for the USDA.
We got that right. Yes, we do. Yes, we did.
And then what they did, they used that to develop the halal Consumer Protection Act.
There you go.
If you can repeat that for me again, you said March 6th, 2000, happened now?
Okay, the Assembly number 1919, State of New Jersey, 209th Legislature, introduced March the 6th, 2000, sponsored by Assemblyman Steele from the state of New Jersey, the first Halal Food Consumer Protection Act in this state, came through our hard work, and people expected to like what we were doing, and support took it to the state legislature and made it law. It's just like you have the consumer kosher law in the state of New Jersey. You violate that, you in big trouble. We're the same way. You violate us, you're in big trouble. Now, because of COVID-19, because of COVID, haven't been out there like we should have been, because I myself contacted Omicron. So I'm not pushing any people to go out there right now, because this thing is pretty dangerous, taking people's lives. But this thing in time will subside, and we'll be back on the case doing the thing that we need to do. But right now we need to just study, protect ourselves, because the doors is open again, then we'll go forth. But right now we're in a state of protect yourself, because Allah was here for a long, long time, brother. It's going to be a long time when we're gone. So while we're here, study, learn what you're supposed to do, and in time we'll be get back into the streets, checking stores and restaurants, talking about being allowed who may not be allowed, because they're not doing it maliciously, because they don't understand that there's laws in this state that they may not be familiar with. For instance, this law doing things that they should not be doing. So that's where we come in to bring people in accord with the law, inshallah.
And, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, please. Yours is a continuation, so you go ahead first.
And I just wanted to add to what Earl was stating. That bill was submitted, but what happened, the submittor ran into, he lost his seat. And then on July 12th, Senator Jerkinanti presented and he signed it. It got it signed.
What year was that?
2000, July 12th, 2000.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Then we planned an event in the state of New Jersey. We asked the governor to invite Imam Muhammad to come to Jersey. And so we put together this breakfast for governor, for the Imam, hosted by the Honorable Governor Christine Whitman.
Christine Todd Whitman.
Yeah, Christine Todd Whitman. Yeah. And in between March, July, and August, she came and she signed the bill into law.
Alhamdulillah.
But what took place? Two things, three things, really. A young lady by the name of Mary Q. Joe, she was a senior aide to Governor Whitman. The Muslim community leaders, we met at in Paterson, New Jersey. And the Muslim community, one of the leaders, he came and he said, he introduced me to the governor. He said, this is Abu Halal.
Mm-hmm.
See, he helped make this whole thing possible. So what we did was we used that to do a few other things. Mary was standing there, so then Mary used that statement to invite Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad came, and he had dialogue with Governor Whitman. And he told her, he said, I know you're the governor, but I see bigger things for you. She said, huh? And brothers, after that meeting with Imam Muhammad and Governor Whitman, we had a friend on our side.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, brother, then on August 8th, 2000, the Council of Imams, under the leadership of Imam Omar Abdul Aziz, wrote a letter to Governor Whitman introducing me to the state of New Jersey. Then, from 2000 to 2002, it was dialogue going back and forth, getting the words of the disclosure together. Imam Omar mm-hmm. Aziz, I then certified Imam Omar Aziz. So he went inside, and he was working with the state. And he would bring back information to me. I would go over it, and I would make input because we were developing the halal disclosure.
Yes, yes.
And I also told the state that Imam Omar Aziz will be our representative in the state.
And when I was young, I used to get real excited about the fireworks. You know, now today, I kind of
a lot took place in order to make this happen. Yes, Jersey's number one, but now there are 12 other states that took what we did here in Jersey and they used that as a footprint to have Halal Protection Act in 12 other states. And we had to make all of America. Every state must have a Halal Consumer Protection Act.
Great.
I'm working with Brother Raheem. I'm working with Brother Raheem. I gave him a Brother Raheem in Chicago. And he has a brother in Indiana. They were supposed to be working on getting this regulation and getting these Chicago, Illinois, and Indiana, okay, Consumer Protection Act. That's what they're working on. I understand about the COVID and et cetera, but maybe they'll pick it back up again. But my point is, was establishing the law. Go ahead, bro. Yes, sir.
No, you say you want to get the law established in any state?
In every state. Every state should have a Halal Consumer Protection Act.
See, that comes under the fact that the Muslims have to become involved politically. It's not so much about voting for certain people, but you need things to be walked through from the bottom to the top. If you're not politically savvy, you won't get things done because it's not locked down in the law. They just put it to the side. But if you know people, you supported people, they know you, they know what you're about for the goodness of the community. Those are the ones supposed to guide you through these halls of government to get things done that you need done. But you have to be involved politically. Everybody don't have to do it, but you have to have key people, male or female, from the block committee. You know how powerful the block committee is? The block committee? That's a foothold in the community. People want to know what's going on with the block committee. If you got a good strong one, they have the ear of the councilman and the district leader. They have their ears. So that's a nucleus of power for politics. So the believers have to get involved in it. That's what we did in North. We got involved in those political things on the ground level, and it worked all the way up to the state. So let the believers have to get uncomfortable, get out of your lethargy, and get involved, and let's make halal be halal specifically for us. Because there's too much money involved that we're not sharing that money, brother. There's something wrong with that.
If you can make a bean, if you can make some bread pudding, make it halal. If you can make some corn pudding, make it halal.
If you make
potato salad, make it halal. What you do, look in the supermarket and pick out a product that you want to bring to the market. We have the certification agency that can make it halal.
Make it halal.
As long as you pass the inspection.
Precisely.
But we can certify you halal.
Great.
That's what we need, halal products.
Well, let me do this here because I have a couple of callers lined up. I have a question of my own, and we need for you to give us now and later how can people contact you because you are giving some wonderful, powerful, insightful ideas and information. How can we get a hold of you all?
Okay, let me say this here. We're planning September 23rd, 24th. We're planning a workshop. Culture and workshop that weekend, and we're gonna have a halal workshop. But
I'm sorry. If I'm not mistaken, that's the same weekend.
The convention.
That Study is doing a program on Imam Muhammad in Chicago, Illinois, and I guess I'm Hold on.
This is
the weekend of September. I think the same weekend stay the other side with Sister Fictra. She has a number of Muslim scholars in Imam going to Chicago to do a discussion on the life of Imam, the life and history, the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I think it's the same weekend. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What's that week? What is it again? What's the date?
That's the first week of December, right?
No.
It's the same. No, I'm thinking, hold on, let me, I'm going to come back to that, but I'm sure that's the same weekend of September 20th. It is, because the 24th is a Friday, 25th is a Saturday. And I just signed up and I bought me a booth to go sell my book. But now I'm kind of torn.
Hey, listen, we can adjust. Because it's not locked down yet. Okay. I just have a date. I penciled in two spots. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll call you later on. We'll talk later on about those dates. But the question I want to ask, and I have two callers at least going to hold up. Please don't go anywhere. My question is, what is your succession plan for the future, in particular keeping this halal as a model for African-American Muslims? You know, who's going to take over this great work that you all have done?
You know, but let me handle part of that. I'll talk about the other part.
Go ahead. Get it, bro.
My part, if we have to first get the believers to start eating halal. If you eating the product,
true,
you're chewing it, you're digesting it, it's coming to your conscious mind, then you can, in turn, you can project where you want this to go in the future. But the thing right now is get the people to eat halal. That's seeming to be the situation right now. Get you to consume halal, think halal, then we can plan out a future for the future with halal. But if you're not doing that, if you just eat halal Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, eat kosher, you have a dichotomy there. You have a split there. You can't think in a rational place. So we're trying to get people to, first of all, consume the product. Think about the product. Then we come together in that future where we want to go with this product when we're not here. But the first thing you have to embed it within yourself is that I want to be a person of halal to this specific community, and mm-hmm. what do we do for the future? Because most of us, we're old, man. We're almost 80, man. But Allah has blessed us with a good spirit. Our rule is young. But we got physically, we're over 80 years of age. And we have a lot of, when we look behind us, we don't see a lot. And we're trying to get people right now to consume halal. If they consume halal, then inshallah, they can think halal. If they think halal, they can project for the future, inshallah.
Okay. Very well said.
Currently, I'm working on a store where we've taken wholesale, retail, and manufacturing. We have it under one roof. Inshallah, this new facility is being established for duplication. Okay? The concept is to take this structure or this concept and where it can be reproduced in every state. Every area needs the trading post. In Indiana, in Chicago, it don't have to be, start. If it has to start, if you start, you have to start in the masjid, start in the masjid. But every city, every state, every region needs a trading post. Start small.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to do it like the old bazaars, do it like the old bazaars. But at least every area needs a point of economic development.
That's
we
right.
have to be able to yes. focus on certain areas. We have to be able to do that. And what we're talking about in September is now establishing the halal, I would say, food chain. The halal food yes. chain. You know, let's take. I would say our corn, and put it in one basket, and let's see what we have. Brothers and sisters, we have the expertise, but we just don't, we're divided right now. So let's come together and at least establish a simple format of what's among us, and then work and try to make these changes, make these connections. How can we trade with New York? How can we bring one product? Every state has a state product. Bring your state product. But make it allowed.
Yes. Goods and services evolve naturally. I don't care what we do, we're going to need some insurance. So I don't care what we do, we're going to need a lawyer. I don't care what we do, we need that accountant. I don't care what we do, you need a driver, a delivery. So look at all the things that can evolve once we come together and establish this food, this food and service network.
You got to get the thinking term.
You got to have that way. You know, Imam Muhammad, he called me in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
My secretary, Carol, she answered the phone. She said, Imam Muhammad's on the phone. I said, Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. He said, Waikum Assalam, brother Akbar. No, he said, Brother Salam. He said, Brother Salam. I said, yes, sir. He said, New Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I said, yes, sir. He said, Brother Salam. I said, yes. Are you mad? He said, New Africa. I said, yes, sir, Brother. Yes, sir, Brother, man. He said, Brother Salam, New Africa.
Mm. Mm.
So I said, not old Africa? He said, no, New Africa. So I thought about it.
Yeah,
I said, wow, you man. I said, wow, you man. I said, that's deep. He said, ain't that deep? And he hung the phone up. That's his business.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Earl, and let me catch with this here. And he called out there. He said, Earl Slot, anytime you want to be with me, go to my vision, and that's where I'll be.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
So, brothers and sisters, that trading post is a start to build New Africa. That trading post is a start to come together and trade.
Yes, sir.
We got products among us. We got True Detergent. We got all the brother clothing store down in Florida. You got Iman Yahya Abdullah out of Jacksonville. He used to just sell suits and stuff from all around the world. Let's bring all this together and let's start trading with each other.
That's right. Well, let me get to my callers.
Hello? Did you slam the phone? The nucleus of that whole thing is to think halal. Now, I was in Barnes & Noble a couple of years ago, and I was walking around looking at the books, and this book stuck out called The End of Food. The End of Food by Paul Roberts, 2008. I said, that's interesting because without food, we don't survive. Now, fast forward 10 years to last year, a lady came out with a book called The Fate of Food. Now, these are very ominous terms for something that maintains humanity. We know there's a mentality running around the world, talking about too many people. We can't feed all these people. We got to do something to get rid of these people.
Right.
But the ayah that you open up with kills that. It says, old humankind, he has made you to dwell on the earth and eat of what is pure and good. So the food don't be here. Why do we have to have food insecurity in the year 2022? There's something wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. But Muslims, we don't think in terms of that. We have to think in terms of what Allah says, allow, and work ourselves in position and make that happen in our immediate community and spread out worldwide. But I'm telling you, brother, this mindset has circled the planet about there's too many people. We can't feed all these people. But that's not what God said. God says, old humanity told us how we should eat. So that means what? That there will be food here for us. But we have to think in terms of making that happen for us. I like the ayat because it speaks to so many particular things that we're talking about today. But the end of food, the fate of food, that's ominous. But that's not for the Muslim. That's for somebody else.
Yeah.
So we have to get our people to begin to think in terms, think halal. Not only food, clothing, culture, music, all these things surround halal. We got to make these things halal. And that gives us life, a verb, a desire to live for the future, inshallah.
I like it. I like it.
You know, Arab, you know what this man said also? He said, hunger is the friend of halal. Hunger protects the moral life. It is the body itself reacting to a need to keep itself, so it sends pain. It wants halal. It wants something to sustain its life. So this halal, and then it says, then the man gave it, he said, the human being is a free soul to find the path to enlightenment. So this is all about enlightenment.
Yes, it's allowed. Establishing religion, trading with one another, eating the halal, bringing ourselves under the dictates of the Quran. It's bringing us to enlightenment. You know what I mean? And it's taking us to a vision that's going to establish New Africa.
Definitely.
Let me get to my callers here because I'm about to lose them.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Yes,
sir. Okay, please. I'm sorry.
But you got me torn because I'm writing down the notes. He said that this will bring us to the enlightenment. So I'm trying to write and do this too because it's all good information, wonderful information. Caller from 562, you've been patient here. Thank you. Caller from 562, can you give us your first name and city, please? And your
Muhammad.
Question comment.
Muhammad, Long Beach, California.
I'm doing
that. Yes, sir.
Beautiful program. Right on time, in time. like the man say, we can't stop now.
That's right.
Did I hear that correct? The Union Meat, Halal Union Meat Company.
Unity.
Did you have established already?
Yes. We've been in business for 54 years.
Yeah. Can you give a number for that? Contact you on that? You have a product? I want to produce a product, halal
yes,
meat product.
Yes, sir.
And other stuff like barbecue sauce, like you say, potato salad. For your barbecue meat.
Yes, sir.
What's your number?
That contact. I need that contact number.
973.
493-8912.
973-493-8912.
Thank you very much.
This is Brother Akbar,
you,
right?
Brother Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Brother Mikhail,
right,
for your show, for hanging
well,
in there.
You.
Beautiful show. And,
thank you.
Like you say, let's jumpstart this show and make it happen. Well, I believe you can't leave your man, Muhammad. He deserves it.
Yes, sir.
For us to make it happen. A lot of work.
Brother, let me ask you a question. You in Long Beach, California?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have anything halal going on out there from our community specifically?
Not at all. We need it. We're definitely
out here. You must be the point man, then. You must be the point man.
Inshallah.
You have to be a point man, Aki.
Yes.
We love bless you. What's your name?
Brother Muhammad Abdul Rahim.
Very good. I like the name, brother. But you get in touch with Akbar, and we see what we can do for you, inshallah.
Yeah. And when you call, if I don't answer, just leave a message. I'll get back to you.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Will do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, brothers. May Allah bless you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for
that. I continue to bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Well, you got that answer. You're the point man, huh?
Yes, sir.
Nobody else. You're the point man.
Brother Mikhail, you there?
Who's the host? The host left him?
Okay.
Where's the host?
Mikhail, where you at, bro?
Let's take over the program, my wife. What's up here? What's up, man? We're gonna take this program and run with it. Allah
okay.
Yeah. Hey,
but
wait a minute.
But have that.
Sorry. Now, something happened. You know, for some reason, this program kicks out my main phone. I had to call back in from my home phone, and this is about the third time this has happened to me. So
that's a good phone.
I had to call back. Okay, so we will continue. So, Brother Muhammad Abdul Rahim, we want to thank you for calling in, and we're gonna go to our next caller. Our next caller is from 310. Caller from 310. Can you give us your first name and city, please? And your question, comment.
As-salamu alaykum, brother, ma'am, and guests.
Sister Sammy from Los Angeles.
Yes, Brother Sammy.
Yes, sir. Lega Masalam. Man, this program is so outstanding and beautiful, man. Very touching, too, to hear these brothers from where they came from. I have a comment and I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say briefly that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise.
Yes, sir.
And Imam Muhammad, may Allah grant him the highest station in paradise.
Indeed.
They did a beautiful job with this community as far as transitioning. And I just want to say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad created soldiers. And these two brothers who are on now, they were soldiers back then.
Thank you, brother.
But the Imam Muhammad created warriors. The Imam Muhammad created warriors. And these brothers are warriors. And we have sisters among us, too, who are warriors, you know.
Yes,
and,
yes, indeed.
This is a beautiful, beautiful program here, as well as information.
Yes. Yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm getting a little emotional because I'm so happy to see this growth in our community.
Yes.
And the opportunities. However, the product line, is that available through this number that was just given to us, 973-493-8912?
Yeah, because of the COVID, we have stopped out-of-state shipping because there's so many problems dealing with the deliveries, reception, and all that. You know,
right.
So inshallah, we're going to start back out-of-state deliveries soon.
Okay. Well, I have a question on that, a comment just real quickly. We got the last two calls came from California, Long Beach, and now LA. You are in New Jersey. Is there a cost factor that makes it not feasible to ship that far?
Oh, yeah.
And so what could be done to have an East Coast halal establishment? What do you have on that?
Well, that's one of the kernels of corn. It's a potential.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Brother Sabi, so are there any African American Muslims doing halal in LA? That's a big city. Wow.
Yeah, not to my knowledge, Brother Imam.
You said not. You said not to your knowledge.
Yes, sir. Not to my knowledge.
That's the second largest city in the country. Third largest country.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we have halal markets. Excuse me, we did have some brothers at one time, but I don't think they're in business anymore that was distributing halal products. But as far as I know, the immigrant Muslims are the ones who have the marketplaces and where, you know, we go buy our meat.
Yeah, but once again, my brother, you're the point man. You have to get that nucleus of brothers and sisters right there where you are and say, look, we have to establish the law amongst us, and Allah will bless you to do it. I know he will. I know he'll bless
you.
But how do we get the youngsters involved? That's my thinking.
Get who you can get involved. Right now, you're in the master. Get who you can get involved with it right now. And Allah will bless it to grow in time. It'll evolve. But get the nucleus that you need right now amongst the Muslims, and you go from there. And Allah will bless it to evolve. Naturally. But somebody got to be the point person. So you are the point person, inshallah.
And also, you know, brothers, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. What we have now that we didn't have then with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and in 1975, we have a halal system of knowledge now.
Alhamdulillah. It's a system of knowledge.
Good point.
We got a system of knowledge now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need right now, I'm quoting Imam Muhammad. He said we need collective direction, spiritual integrity, conceptual integrity, and procedural integrity. He said with those things, with the collective direction, he said, boom, the door opens back up.
Yes, sir.
It opens back up.
Thank you, Brother Sami. I got some more calls I'd like to get to. And we appreciate you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Next month, we go to our next caller here. The next caller here is from 914. Caller from 914. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Yeah, this is Muhammad calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Hey, what's up, Mount Vernon? That's close.
Yeah, very close.
Yes. As a matter of fact, well, Brother Youssef, he came and picked up an order Friday.
Right. Good. Yes, sir. No question. Yes. Okay.
Yes, sir. Your question coming, please.
Yeah, this starts since 1977 to 2022. That's 45 years. I know you made a statement a few minutes ago. You're saying we're divided. What is division, and why are we divided after 45 years where Halal's not all of it? Right here in New York area, big as New York is. I mean, big, New York is big. Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens. There is not a halal restaurant in our community. All of New York is not a restaurant we can go to and eat.
You mean that from our community specifically? Because the immigrant has many of
them. Yes,
many
that's right.
So you speak about us, right? You speak about us.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Not a restaurant.
Before. Aki, here's what I said earlier, and you, what you're saying now proves that what I'm saying is correct. We have to begin to think halal. We're not thinking halal. If you think halal, you start eating halal, you begin to project for the future. So we have to have a collective mindset. Look, we're going to eat halal. We're going to eat halal. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, when you put that out there now, well, who got the restaurant? Somebody got to open up the restaurant. We're going to get the food at the community beef. So there's a solution. What we're talking about, what you're saying is a solution, but it starts with thinking in terms of halal first. That's how it starts. Then you eat halal. W.D. Mama said one time, he said, when you're in the land, you may not do an halal all the time. He said, but in your house, in your kitchen, it got to be halal. That means there has to be a nucleus amongst you, and there's a whole lot of Muslims in your name. I mean, hundreds of thousands amongst our people. They have to begin to collect, say, look, we're going to start thinking halal, eating halal, filling halal businesses. It can be done. It can be done overnight because there's so many.
And we can start with all our Muslim events, make sure it's halal. When you come to eat, bring halal food. I mean, right now, everybody's benefiting but the Muslims, okay, when it comes to the Eid. Why? Because you're bringing non-halal food to the Eid.
There you go. Unfortunately.
I mean, at least for those holidays, make everything halal.
And I'm going to say, and buy it from Unity. Buy it from Unity. That's right. Buy it from Unity.
Well, buy from Unity, yes. You know what I mean? But we have to say, support the whole halal industry.
True. That's true.
We got to say that.
You
okay.
Got to put yourself out.
Okay, we're going to move on, if I can. We're getting now. Oh, to
yes,
Brother Muhammad from Mount Vernon, thank you. You have been a long-time supporter. Yes, a good question, the right
yes.
question.
Hey, Brother Muhammad, keep on supporting
yes.
Brother Youssef from Mount Vernon.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
Yes. Let's make him big in Mount Vernon. Is anybody in Mount Vernon supporting Youssef?
Okay. No, very few people know about Brother Youssef. Very few people know about Youssef. You can just tell what's the order that he gets. The order he gets, you know, there's nothing to. He should get a much bigger order in the whole of New York. That's not a lot of people don't even know about Youssef. And
we should make him get.
He just thinking about the order he gets. Hey, nobody getting.
They got to think halal.
That's what I'm saying. That very few people even know about you, Youssef.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're gonna pass this information around. Let them know about this call being today. Let them know about this call being today, and why more people don't know about Youssef as a distributor.
Yes, sir.
Of you to be
very good.
Well.
Yes, sir.
Well, keep in mind that these shows are archived, and as soon as we go off, the show is going to be available. She held the link that you can listen to this show over and over again and pass it on to your family and friends, because Email Earl, he keeps pushing it, and I love it. We got to think halal.
That's right.
The same thing. The same thing with our calendar. We got to think Hijra more than just Ramadan. You know.
That's right.
Next week is
Ahad. Would you give the link? Did you get the link for the hit replay?
The link. I tell you what you can do. If you go to Google, and you put in words make people. You can put in lawful and halal. Put in Akbar Salam. I put him as a key word too. And you can put in the history of halal meats in America. The link should come up. Also, you can put in a keyword is Unity Brand Halal. So I'm gonna say those words again for those who don't have the link. You can go to Google, put in words make people, put in lawful, halal, put in Akbar Salam, put in the history of halal meats in America, and put in Unity Brand Halal. Those are the key search words for finding the link if you don't have the link. Or if you don't, you can hit me up on Facebook or whatever, and I'll share that with you. But if you can, I need to move on to our next caller.
Alhamdulillah. Now, everybody heard that. That's good. Lord Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Muhammad from Mount Vernon. We see you next week. Just while we have a pause, next week we got Dr. Rashad Ali from New Medina.
Sister
from New Jersey. We're going to talk about the Muslim's perspective on abortion. And so that's our show for next Sunday, inshallah. Same number. It'd be a different link. Each show has his own link. But thank you, Brother Muhammad. We're going to move on to our next caller from 910. Caller from 910. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Give us your first name, city, and your question and comment.
Assalamualaikum. Abdurrahman Sharif, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Now, what's your name?
Hey, man.
Abdurrahman Sharif from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yes. Oh, yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Imam Sadiq is giving you brothers a good shout out.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Very good.
But we're here in Wilmington waiting for this COVID-19 to end. We got people on the waiting list waiting for some orders. So, you know, we're with you 100%. And this will be one of our main income providers, halal. You know, we got the word written on the blackboard, and through the two L's, we got the dollar sign. You know, we're just waiting for COVID that night at the end, so we can get some orders going.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
Keep up the good work. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the. I like that. Very creative.
All right. Okay. All right. Let me say here, this Saturday is the Eid. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the recognized date. So what do you recommend for someone who, even myself, I only slaughtered a few times in my life, and which is not the best practice or the best thinking. What words of encouragement would you offer to those who may want to go slaughter? I guess it would be Saturday morning, probably. I guess it would be. Yeah, Saturday morning.
No. So, well, after the select, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because you go to the E first.
After the select,
And then you go to, sir.
Well, you got the 3 days. You got 3 days to make this offer the sacrifice.
Let me follow. You have 3 days. Now, the Eid is Saturday, so you have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, more or less, to go slaughter.
Right. Correct.
Great. Okay.
The animal should be at least a year old.
Okay.
And then, as a matter of fact, we're working on manner conditions for custom slaughter. And it's a document showing
the indigenous Muslim how to slaughter custom-wise, okay? Because we need this information for ourselves. So, matter of fact, I announced that this morning, and I'm asking Imam Earl, Dean, and our minds to come together and use what we already had established and make this new document. And this new document is a product from our community, New Africa. Yeah. And I didn't mention this, that the manner and conditions of slaughtering, when I showed it to Imam Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
he said, if you were to sign this, Brother Salam, where would you sign? I said, well, right here. Mm-hmm. He said, well, sign it. I signed it. He said, now I'm going to sign this. I'm going to sign my name under your name. And he signed it. And he said that, now, this particular document is for New Africa. It's for all of us. This is our contribution. This is us. So we have that document.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Muhammad. Yeah. Yeah. I gave Washington, D.C. a copy. I gave other masters a copy also.
Right.
Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad used to have a copy. He had the original, one of the originals, hanging in his office. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Walk us through some more, if you can, about the slaughtering process. I'm looking in the same book, Meeting the Challenge. This is page 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was asked, and I won't read the whole thing, but I'd like to get your response. The question was asked, said, I was once in this big discussion about halaling the animal with the right hand. There were some who thought that if a person was left-handed, that he should learn how to use his right hand for doing the halal. Are there any provisions for that? And Imam Muhammad responds, you should halal the animal with the right hand. We should halal or carry out any order requiring the right hand with the right hand unless the left hand has been named in the tradition of the Prophet. As you know, there are certain things that Muslims are supposed to do with the left hand, especially regarding their own personal hygiene. So the point he meant was making that in private matters, in certain, he didn't say all, but in certain private matters, they're to use the left hand. That is because the right hand is extended to your guests, to the public, Sheikh. So at the point he was saying that certain left hand things are for your private matters, but the right hand is for public. And he was saying
correct.
That we should slaughter the animal with the right hand. I'd like to get any thoughts you have on that, please.
Well, I concur.
I'm
in 100% agreement.
Yes, saying that, brother Imam, I am left-handed.
Yes,
I'm left-handed, but I slaughter when I do it with my right hand. But, I mean, it's just a put thing in my right hand, which I'm locked with, I'm going to do the slaughter. So I am a lefty, but for that, we do it right. Matter of fact, when I was away, the brother gave me a book on Prophet Muhammad prayers and peace be upon him. This was almost 47 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I read that book. Now, I'm a lefty all my life, but when I read that book, I tried to do everything with my right hand. Just reading that book alone about Muhammad the Prophet, praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
That
yes,
just
sir.
Touched me to the core so much that I tried to do everything with peace. The brother, what you doing, Brother Sadiq? I said, I'm trying to practice with my right hand because I was inspired by the book. So I can understand that. I mean, as I said, when I took me out to slaughter, I use my right hand, even though I'm a lefty. So you can do it. It's not a big thing. You can do it. And that's
yes,
the law. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Thank you.
And let me say this. In 1992, Imam Muhammad came to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I invited for Ido Adha. And I invited him to go slaughter. He stated that. He said, Brother Salam, other communities over all the years have invited me to go slaughter with them. He said, but I always refused. He said, I was waiting for our community to go slaughter. He said, yes, I'll go. He said, but Brother Salam. He said, you have to show me. He said, because I've never done it before. I said, no problem, Brother Eman. And we discussed it. We went over it. And we went up into Chatham, New Jersey, to the slaughterhouse. I had made arrangements. I had everything lined up. At least 50 brothers came with us. They also ordered slaughter. And I escorted the imam in the slaughtering area. And he had a white coat on, and he had a Union brand cap on. I'll never forget it. Okay? I slaughtered, and he watched me, and he slaughtered. Bismillah. Perfect cut. Perfect cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His animal bled. It was beautiful. We watched the process, and then we were leaving. He said, Brother Salam, thank you for helping me experience a very important part of our religion.
Mm.
He said, but you can have that part. and we started laughing, you know. But from that point on, I slaughtered for him every year. Or even now, I still slaughter a lamb every year for Imam Muhammad. Inshallah, next week, I plan on slaughtering a lamb for Imam Muhammad. I used to slaughter the lamb for him, send it to him, and he would feed the poor with it. So we still have that tradition. As a matter of fact, I let Earl slaughter a lamb, his lamb, a couple of times. You know?
Alhamdulillah, indeed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at it. It's just two more things from this book I'd like to comment on. Imam was saying in this conference, this 1985 conference, he was speaking about the need for to have no brief but educational materials. On the need for this is not only to be a halal project, but for us to see that this as a project to establish dignity and bring us to have comparable worth as business people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So Imam Muhammad took it, on my first statement, Imam Muhammad took it further than just the cutting of the animal or whatever. But
yes,
he kept bringing it back to as being a business for us. And along with that, I read another comment here, quote, he said, there is an obligation to be responsible for halal food for your community.
Right.
You must be responsible to God. You must be responsible to God and to your community for halal meat. So you're making it a community concern and a business concern. He was saying here that you can go to Muslims around Chicago and Pakistani, Indian, Albanian, and they all are doing meats, you know, and that's okay. But he said, but we have to do our own. Community obligation.
That's right. On one of the, what we did was on the manner and conditions of slaughtering, when this was first developed, I put on there, the person slaughtering must be Muslim, male or female. They went crazy when I put female on there. The other communities, laugh, brother. I said, well, wait, show me in the center where a sister can't slaughter.
Right.
So that became part of the law also in America.
Great.
In America.
Great.
In America. In America.
I got you.
On the condition, that's condition number eight. Right on the one, condition number eight.
Yeah.
The person slaughtering the animal must be Muslim, male or female. And I can see why they was choking when you said that. It was on top of, top on the list. I'm going to be loud.
I mean, because you should think about it, if a female was out there by herself, you know, she and her babies are hungry.
Right.
She ain't gonna wait for no man to come along.
That's
right.
And take care of
that's
the
right.
at hand.
Hey.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Hey.
Go ahead, please.
Think about Hagar.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Okay.
But you know, Imam Muhammad. But he dealt with so many different aspects. Okay. He dealt with the brain. He dealt with the blood. He dealt with the heart. He dealt mm-hmm. with the lungs. He dealt with all these, and he tied them in. You know what I mean? He dealt with the brain, the central nervous system. You know what I mean? And what happened was, when you were in a slaughterhouse and you're conscious of a brain, and now here you have an animal, and you now I'm looking at the brain. When I open up the animal up, I'm looking at the animal. And here you're seeing internal organs perfectly displayed. Perfect display. I mean, if you want to see beauty, you should see the internal organs of an animal displayed. And begin, what is the function of the heart? It's that function that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is the function of the brain? It's that function that we're talking about. And he gave insight on these functions. And the insight is what encourages you, or what encouraged me, you know what I mean, to do more things than can to her life.
Yes, sir.
Now, scientifically, we have to establish the benefits of eating halal versus non-halal.
I have a question.
Yes.
In regards to what you just said. Is it possible for someone who's educated, and I say it that way, there, on halal to have a column in the Muslim Journal, maybe in the beginning just once a month until it can pick up? Because
beautiful.
That would
That'd be beautiful. Yes.
And maybe create some halal Facebook pages that's tied in with our association. Because,
yes.
Not making excuses, but, you know, we tend, you know, things can be out of mind. I mean, they could be out of sight, so therefore they are out of mind. And as you may have Earl kept saying, we got to think halal. But, like with the TV commercial, they keep showing you that product until you go buy it. They don't get sure at one time.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so if that could be done, and I can't speak for the newspaper, but I'm sure they would be open to having a Think Halal. Matter of fact, that could be the name, Think Halal.
There you go. You got the title already, Think Halal.
You know, the imam did a tafsir on the cow. He talked about chewing the cud, the cow
mm-hmm.
got two stomachs, all those things, and he associated that with knowledge and et cetera. But the imam called me one time. He said, "Oh, Salam, go get Imam Dean Sharif, and y'all ride around the city." He said, "And what I want you to do, go to all your main arteries."
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "And see where all your main arteries lead you." He said, "Your main arteries will lead you to the capital or where City Hall is or et cetera." He said, so you can see that they base their city structure on what? On the cow. He said, when you study all your waste, he said, all your waste is below your belt. He said, so what they did, they took all the waste and put the piping underground.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so now your waist is underground below the waist. He said, but it's based on the human anatomy and the studying the animals, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Indeed.
And so my point is this, that it's a scientific approach that we have to have also.
The
halal certifying agency, we have a scientist who's on the board. She's out there now fighting COVID, looking for cures for COVID, but she's a scientist of the blood, and she's a scientist of intuition when it comes to cures and all. But she's also one of our board members.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need these type of things. See, our learned people, our scientists, our doctors, our lawyers, the doctors have to think halal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do writings on why Allah says eat halal. What is the scientific benefits?
Yes.
Good question.
I mean, and now we're making our contribution to the memory based on what? Eat by Allah's way. See? So this thing is broad.
It's
so, yeah. I mean,
it's broad indeed.
Yeah, it's broad, brother. it sends you to bed at night and wakes you up in the morning, you know?
That's right. It's going to grow wicked without us. I'm the
deluxe. Well, let me ask you as we wrap up, are there any thoughts, comments that we may have overlooked? And also, if you can give a phone number or a website again, that would be very helpful for those who
okay, look for the date that we're going to have this Halal workshop, okay? And we'll communicate on that.
Okay.
But we don't want it to to conflict with anything else that's taking place.
Yeah, we don't want no conflict yet, per se.
Yeah, well, I know it's kind of hard to get around because there's so much going on, but I think the one should there may be a big one, you know, I don't know. Or who knows, maybe you can, I'm just brainstorming without even asking your permission, but you can maybe go there and have a booth there, Bar Halal. You know, so that's a thought, but...
Okay.
Is there anything about this topic, about the history of Halal, even the future of Halal, you want to share with us before we turn this corner?
Well, I want to say, brother, think Halal. You said the new column for the article in the paper was there. Think Halal. That's it.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's it.
That's right.
I thank you, Brother McKenna. I thank you, and I thank the listening audience for being patient with us. And I thank you, and once again, thank you aloud, and also, boys make people.
I'm doing well. Well, believe me, like the brother Sami said from L.A., he said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he made soldiers, Imam Muhammad made warriors, and you two and your team is fantastic. Outstanding. I mean, the endurance, that's the test, you know. You just didn't get raised up and get tired and say, I'm going home. You said, no. You know how we do as believers. When we say, when I'm tired, you say, okay, double down.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, that's how we're going to make it. If we think about
like the boss said.
And
like
we think about the prices. That's right. The price. And that's why we can't stop now. The prices that our people pay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Countries.
No, we cannot. No, we cannot. We owe too much. We owe so many people. So thank you both. And can you
thank you,
your team. And Brother Ogbo, we're going to stay in contact. We've got some things
we can
work on. Because this is our day.
That's right.
Brother Imam, I got a question for you.
The book
that you'll put out on the commentary on the verse of Imam, what's the Imam? Are you going to reissue those books again?
Yeah, the book is being edited. We even added a pretty good index in the back for research. The challenge now is we're about there now. I was thinking we emailed Nasser last week just to get the cover of the book. It's, many people know we had issues with the covers last time. And so we changing companies. We're not going to the same people we went to before.
Okay.
And that's the last step that we're trying to deal with is getting the cover.
Very good.
But the inside, the inside is ready.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you about the brother. The brother, the book. I mean, we got books out since that thing, like Follow the Lead of Bravo Shaheed that he put out. But this book that you put out, brother, I go to that book. I mean, there's so much stuff in it I never heard before.
Ain't it?
So many things he breaks down, brother. I mean, he takes it to the least common denominator. You got to understand what he's talking about. And the one to follow the leadership, the things he brought in that book. Brother, put them books back up. And what we want the believers to start reading the books. Believers got to start reading again. I mean, it's a general statement, but I tell you, man, I'd be writing on the believers, man. I ask them certain things. Oh, where you get that at, bro? It's in the book. What book? Damn, what book?
Continue,
brother. Doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. And believe me that you are truly my role models because if you are joined the Nation of Islam, I wasn't even in kindergarten yet.
Brother. We told you, brother. Not Muhammad.
Yeah, that's right. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you, brother.
You're welcome to stay on.
Y'all keep on keeping on. I keep.
Yes, sir. You're welcome to stay on. I just got a couple more things I need to do before I go.
Okay.
We have what we call a moment with Muslim Journal.
Beautiful.
We added that to our program recently. You're going to support our institution. It's in the 61st year. She go back to its beginning with El Haj Malik El Shabazz, then at the time Minister Malcolm X. And so this is not a short-term situation. This is an institution. Muslim Journal
Absolutely.
Is our paper, and we
Absolutely.
Have to support it. It's more than a paper. It's as I said before, it's an institution. Now you can go online, and now they have the online edition. You go to MuslimJournal.net, and you can subscribe. MuslimJournal.net.
And you know
we're
in Newark, and Newark is the focal point with that now. You know that, right?
Oh, yes. I know.
Make sure you mention that now. You get offended if you don't mention it now.
You know, thank you. He may be listening, huh? Kareem Muhammad, yes. I was speaking last week. For those who don't know, the office, the main office of Muslim Journal is moving from Chicago to Newark.
That's right.
There's been a board of trustees has been established. I was blessed to be an associate member of the board. But as I made a point even before the transfer of the office, every week to promote, every week that I'm on live, sometimes I do a repeat, every week that I'm on live, they have what I call a moment for Muslim Journal. Now, see, I'm on the website now, and I see the June 18th, 24th issue I see here. It has some very good information. You can go to the paper. If you get a subscription, you can give it a click, and you can, like, turn the pages, you know, even online. You just give it a click, and you can just read it like you're reading the paper. But then there are those who wanted the hard copy, and that's understandable, too. You know, and you can get that too just by subscribing to the Muslim Journal newspaper. The site is MuslimJournal.net. And I'm reading the paper now here online. Just give it a click and then turn the page. You know, so alhamdulillah. Okay, the other.
And also, I'm also. One of the new board members, also.
Oh, Mr. General, yes. Oh, I didn't mention that, Aki. What's up? Yeah.
Okay.
All over the place.
All over the place. That's good. That's good.
Let me say this here. If we establish this halal food chain and goods and service chain, you have to post it somewhere. We're going to post it in the Muslim Journal.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Okay. Then my other promotion that I want to mention is that also on this same program, the same number you called, the number is 714-816-4673. We have programs here on Tuesdays. Brother Rashid, he has a program called The Science of Health and You. He deals a lot of issues with science. You know, I may ask him to give you all a call because for halal meat, it's definitely science.
Yes, definitely.
So every Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's on Tuesday. On Wednesday, our brother Mark Shahid, he has a program called Parent and Reconstructing Learning Lab. Keep in mind, these shows are all at 7 p.m. The first one, The Science of Health and You, is on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. The Parent and Reconstructing Learning Lab by Brother Mark Shaheed, also of St. Louis, is every Wednesday at 7. But he comes back on Thursday and give another program, also at 7 p.m., called Course Share Learning Lab. So we're keeping this going. The name of this station is Station IWDM.
That's yes, sir.
Okay.
So that's it for what I have today. Unless you brothers have anything you want to add. If not, we're
thank you for having us, brother. Thank you for having us.
Thank you again.
Yeah, my honor, my pleasure. Thanks again. Thanks to our listeners, our supporters. And inshallah, next week, Dr. Rashad Ali and Sister Carol Bedard, she is now in New Jersey as well, thanks in southern part of New Jersey.
Okay.
And maybe another believer who has some background on, well, that's the Muslim thinking on abortion. Because that's a hot topic going on now.
That's a biggie, though. That's a biggie. That's a biggie.
Yes, sir. So, inshallah, next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people and people. They make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, work can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Mm-hmm. Shahada, You put my hair on my head, shoulder. Allah did all these things. Allah did. Yes, he made it a beautiful king. Allah did. Allah did, yeah, nah. Allah did, Allah,
Allah.
We love you,
we love you,
for all the things that you do, Allah. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love, covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over. Wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, could ask for anything more. Out of all the women, you're the only one in play. Out of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, into the garden, my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong, you held on tightly to me. Yes, you did, yes, you did. So I wrapped you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love, mm-hmm. Covered all over.